4-and-20 ladies fair were playing at the ball, when out stepped Bonnie Janet, the fairest among them all. Oh, Bonnie Janet was fair indeed, with her golden hair and bright blue eyes, and proud she was as well, and strong-willed, so proud and independent that she actually demanded of the laird, her father, a piece of her inheritance before she came of age. And the part that she demanded made her father's heart sink, for it was the well of Cattar Hall and the land surrounding it. Her father believed, like many others, that the well of Cattar Hall was ruled by the presence of an enchanted being, Tam Lin, who always demanded a forfeit from those who visited the well, perhaps a ring or a coin, but in the case of young maidens it was said he asked much more. So the laird forbid Janet to visit the well, but, oh, that which is forbidden is always the sweetest. So as soon as she was able, Janet rode out to see her new inheritance. The shady grove where the well stood was cool and green. Around the stone well grew many different herbs and plants, including two rose bushes in full bloom, one red, one white, and Janet plucked a rose from each. She had not pulled a double rose, a rose, but not yet two, when up then spake the bold Tam Lin, saying, "Lady, no more pull you." Janet looked up with a start, and saw before her the most beautiful young man she had ever seen in her life. His eyes were dark, but seemed to hold a fire within them. His hair hung about his face in thick curls, and his clothes were of the finest silk. His flesh was of a golden hue, and as she stared at him, his countenance almost seemed to glow. He spoke again.
"Why pull ye the rose, Janet? And why break ye the wand? And why come you to Cattar Hall without in my command?"
Janet shook off the drowsy spell that seemed to surround her, and she answered boldly.
"Cattar Hall is my own. My daddy gave it me. And I'll come and gang by Cattar Hall and ask no leave of thee."
The young man smiled, the most glorious smile, and Janet felt herself once again falling under his enchantment. Her knees went weak, and she felt the stirring of such feelings as she had never known before. Tam Lin drew near to her and took her hand, gazing deeply into her eyes.
"Janet, will you tarry with me a while?"
And she did. She tarried with him in the cool, shady grove all that day, and many days after that, throughout the summer, and she loved him dear. Until one day in the fall of the year, as the poet would say, 4-and-20 ladies fair were playing at the chess, when out stepped Bonnie Janet, as green as any grass. And up then spake her father dear, and he spake meek and mild, "And ever, alas, sweet Janet, I fear thou goes with child." And it was true. Janet fled the hall and returned to the well of Cattar Hall, but she prayed that her love would not be waiting for her, for she went to search for a special plant, an herb that would put an end to her pregnancy. She could not stand the thought of bringing disgrace to her family, and she feared that she would be forced to wed some old knight against her will. She knew that she could not wed a creature of the fairy folk, for surely that was what Tam Lin was. But as she searched for the special plant, she heard a familiar voice.
"Why pluck ye the herb, Janet, among the grove so green, and all to kill the bonny babe we got ourselves between?"
"What am I to do? Can you be father to my child and husband to me? Have you ever dwelt with men? I think not."
But that is when Tam Lin told her his tale, for in truth he was indeed a man. But a few years before, when he was out hunting with his uncle, he fell from his horse, and when he awoke, he was in the realm of the fairy queen. The queen loved him and kept him as her knight. And then he told Janet his greatest secret and greatest fear.
"Oh, pleasant is the fairyland, but an eerie tale to tell. For once every 7 years we must pay a tax to hell, and I, being young and full of flesh, I fear 'twill be myself.
Oh, what can I do to save you?"
And Tam Lin explained how on the feast of Samhain the fairy folk would ride forth in a great procession to pay the hell tax. And on that night, if she would go to the crossroads and wait for them to pass, and then lay hold of him, she might be able to save him. He told her what to do.
"First let pass the black horses, and then let pass the brown. But run, run to the milk-white steed, and pull your lover down."
and he told her how, through magic, the fairies would change his shape. But she must not be afraid, and she must not let go. So on the night of Samhain, Janet made her way to the millstone well at the crossroads. She hid herself in the bushes close to the well and waited. The night was dark, and as midnight approached, she heard the sound of clattering hooves and bridle bells, though she saw no one at first. But slowly, through the gathering gloom, she saw the flickering of the fairy lights, bright bursts of lightning slowly forming the shapes of horses and horsemen. Their eyes shone bright violet, their long hair billowed about them like clouds of silver. Louder and louder they came, their bright armor clanking, their swords crashing against their shields. Janet watched carefully and remembered Tamlin's words.
First let pass the black horses, then let pass the brown, but run, run to the milk-white steed and pull your lover down.
Janet did just as he said when she saw her lover upon the white horse. She leapt from her hiding place and seized him, pulling him to the ground where she held him tight. The fairy host sent up a great cry,
Tamlin is away!
And they began to gallop around the crossroads at a maddening pace, brandishing their weapons. In her arms, Janet felt the body of Tamlin grow smaller and thinner until she saw that she held a writhing serpent that struck out at her with evil fangs. But she held the creature tight, nevertheless. The serpent changed into a wiggling lizard, cold and slimy to the touch, then opened its huge, ugly mouth and hissed at her. But still she would not let go. Then the beast began to grow, until Janet found herself clinging to the hairy back of a great bear that lashed at her with its huge claws. But Janet held on all the tighter, and then the bear became a roaring lion. But Janet held it tight by the throat, in spite of its hideous toothy mouth and breath that smelled of rotting meat. Again the beast began to shrink, until it turned into a bar of iron that began to glow red hot. White hot, all the way to blue, and it burned Janet's hand to the bone, but still she would not let go. And finally, the bar of iron shrank in size to the size of a glowing coal, and only then did Janet toss it into the well. The fairy folk shrieked again as huge clouds of steam rose from the well. And then, as the moon slowly began to rise, Janet saw the figure of a naked man, her own true love, emerging from the well. She ran to him and threw her green mantle about him, hiding him from sight and holding him close to her breast. The fairy folk had suddenly grown quiet and still. They seemed frozen in their places, bowed down to the ground. Even the horses were bowing. At first, Janet thought they were honoring her for breaking the spell. But then in the north, she saw a vision of black crows flying over a patch of blood on white snow, and she heard a voice which she knew to be that of the fairy queen.
Tamlin! Tamlin! How dare you leave me after all I've given you! I forbid it! Return to me, now!
But Janet held Tamlin fast in her arms, and she felt his gentle breathing as he slept beneath her mantle. Then she saw to the south the vision of a burning bush of broom, and the voice spoke again.
Tamlin! Tamlin! Do not leave me, Tamlin! I am the only one who loves you truly. Do not hurt me so! Come back, Tamlin!
But still her lover slept safe within her arms. Then to the west she saw a vision of a great white owl hovering above her.
Tamlin! Tamlin! If I had but known what love would do to you, I would have plucked out your heart and given you a heart of stone, and plucked out your eyes and given you eyes of wood.
Janet hid her face from the vision, but still Tamlin slumbered on. And the next sound she heard came from the east, the sound of morning birds singing with the dawn. All the fairy folk were gone, and as the sun rose, Janet held her true love close, knowing that she had won him at last, and knowing that now all would be well for them. And so it was.